Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Hey, y'all, welcome back. We are continuing our Better Than Expected series. We kicked it off last week for Easter, and it's been amazing just to hear the great feedback of people going into different meetings and not knowing how it's going to go or just kind of dreading it, right? And not feeling good about it, and then coming out of those situations like, you know what? That was better than expected. So it's great to see the momentum that we're already getting, just even as we just kicked it off last week, right? And we understand how important this is because, as we talked about, too often we allow moments of disappointments to become bigger than moments of gratitude in our lives. And we let those moments of disappointments live in our hearts rent free. So we got to say they got to go, right? We got to go ahead and kick them out, evict them. And in order to do that, we have to have gratitude move in, and we got to be able to identify those moments when things end up being better than expected and be able to give God the glory, the God who is able to exceed our expectations. Last week, we touched on our theme scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, but I want to go a little deeper this week and really connect with the character of God, all right? Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Go ahead and put that amen in the comments, all right? So, hey, as we talked about last week, Paul could pray this prayer because he understood that his God was able to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think, able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, as amazing as this ask is, because this is an amazing ask, right? For us to be empowered with inner strength, to have Christ make his home in our hearts, for us to be rooted in God's love, for us to have the power to understand and experience the love of Christ, and to be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. As amazing as this ask is, Paul understood that his God was able to do even more than that, able to exceed our expectations. Now, he understood that his God specializes in better than expected, but not just in what he can do, but in who he is. And when we really take time to get to know him, that's when we find out not only is he better than expected, but he's way better. And that's the title of my message today, Way Better. All right, we're going to jump right in as to why he's way better. Number one, he's way better because he's our creator. He's our creator. In verse 14, Paul says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. You know, here Paul is, it seems like he's so overwhelmed by God's plan and so overwhelmed by God's glory and his power. And even Paul, like he's overwhelmed, like his place in this whole plan and the church's place in all of it. And all he can do is fall to his knees in prayer. What makes you kneel? What makes you fall to your knees before God? What aspect of God's plan and power makes your knees weak? Is it because of your place in it all? Is it because of the plan he has for your life, what he's calling you to? Maybe his plan for us together as a church is what makes you bow down in prayer. Or maybe it's his creation that makes you drop in reverence, right? What is it for you? What overwhelms you about God? For me, it's when I realize that I'm in his presence, that I'm in the presence of God, the creator and king, especially when I'm able to experience him through nature, through his creation, when I'm able to see a beautiful sunset, when I'm able to see the ocean and how vast it is, or a mountain and how tall and majestic it is, right? And so it's in those moments I feel like I gotta, man, like take off my shoes, like Moses did, or take off your sandals. Like I gotta take off my shoes. I gotta drop to my face and bow as low as possible before God. You know, his creation helps me to grasp his magnitude. You know, my wife this week, as she was having her quiet time, shared something with me that I thought was really deep. And what she shared was, she said, hey, you know what? If you're going to be overwhelmed about anything, be overwhelmed by God. Be overwhelmed by God's love. You know, and I thought that was so deep because we let so many things overwhelm us because we're not overwhelmed with God. When we do get overwhelmed with God and his power, his strength, his love, when we're able to understand that he's way better, then we may not get as overwhelmed with all the other stuff. Because the bigger we make God, the smaller all those other problems become. All right? So he's way better because he's the creator of everything, heaven and earth. And that should overwhelm us to the point where we drop on our knees and we spend time with him in prayer. All right, number two, he's way better because he has unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. Verse 16 says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. So this verse right here can also be translated as glorious riches or the riches of his glory. That just blows my mind, y'all. I mean, to think about how unlimited his resources are, how rich he is in glory, that his glory is abundant. He has storehouses of it. His glory overflows. It can't be measured. It's immeasurable. That's amazing. And it's out of those endless resources, that endless reservoir of glory and resources and riches. It's out of that that he's able to strengthen us with his power. He's able to empower us. Clark once said in his commentary I read that it would be a disgrace for a king or a nobleman to give no more than a tradesman or a peasant. God acts up to the dignity of his infinite perfections. He gives according to the riches of his glory. When I studied this out, you know what I wrote in my journal? I said, why do I always got to be reminded of this? Why do I always have to be reminded that God has everything, right? And that he's able to give us everything that we need, that we don't ever have to be in want. We don't ever have to be in need. Like, God knows what we need and he has it all to give to us. You know, anytime I understand this, I worry less, I stress less. I just ask, like, why is it always like I may not have enough? So that's why I love scriptures like this that remind me of his glorious, unlimited resources. Last weekend on Saturday night before Easter, we had all the kids from the neighborhood. They came to our house, and we have this little program going so that once a week, each family, once a week for a month, once a week each month, each family gets all the kids so that all the other couples get to go on a date night. So in our subdivision. And so it was our weekend. And while I had them, I said, hey, we're about to, you know, I had grilled some hot dogs and some mac and cheese. And, you know, we did it up for them. You know, that's what kids like. And so we said, hey, before we eat, let's go ahead and have a little discussion. So they all sat around in my living room. And I actually talked to them about what our sister Daphne Dunmoody has shared for Wake Up Wednesday about the woman who had poured out her alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus, right, before he went on the cross. And so I asked them questions like, hey, what's something valuable to you? What's something that means a lot to you? And so they said different things. And these are ages from probably, I mean, we had Kyler is the youngest. So I don't know, he's like two or something, all the way up to like maybe 11, 12 years old. Boys and girls, and you know, they said their computer, their laptop, or their phone, of course, or they said different things like, you know, people are valuable to me, or just different things like that were important to them, toys, whatever it may be. And I asked how they would feel if they had to give those things up. And they're like, oh man, we would struggle with that. Like it'd be hard if I had to give that up, but I would give it up if somebody really needed it. But I said, how would it make you feel though? Why is it so hard to give up some of the things that God has given us? And they said, we're scared that we'll never get it again. And it was so good because, you know, I just told them, I said, hey, God's going to ask you to sacrifice things as you grow up in your relationship with him that are going to feel like more than you're willing to give. But he's a God of unlimited resources, so he's able to give it back to you. But really, my man Cam, a little buddy, you know, he was raising his hand real high, real high, real high. I got something to say. I got something to say. And, you know, the little ones, they be off sometimes. So, you know, I got, you know. But I finally called on him. He said, yeah. Because God can create anything at any time and give it to you. And I was like, yes, Cam, that's it. Like, that is such a childlike faith. Like, in his eyes, we don't have to worry about not having enough because at any moment, God can just boom, like magic, create it. And he can because he's our creator. And I said, that is it. That's what God wants us to know about him. So thank you, Brother Cam. You blessed us that night. We appreciate that. You know, God wants to use those glorious, unlimited resources and riches to strengthen us in our inner being. So we may want him to use those things to make us happy or to bring us pleasure or whatever it may be. But this scripture says that he uses his glorious riches, that out of that endless reservoir of riches, he uses that to strengthen us and to empower us. Why? So that Christ can make his home in our hearts, so that he can dwell in our hearts. And we talked a little bit about this last week, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Christ wants to make his home in our hearts. And so we need to be strengthened by God's glorious riches in order to be able to, for Christ to make his home in our hearts. He wants to dwell in our hearts. That's his end goal, right? That's ultimately what he wants to happen. And he wants that relationship to be intact through eternity. Home, right? Not an Airbnb. All right. You know, too often, here's the problem now. Too often we let Christ dwell in our hearts like he's booking an Airbnb, like for special occasions. That's when we book an Airbnb, right? When we're traveling, we're going somewhere. We're not going to stay there. We're just going to be there for a few days. And for us, we're usually one or the other. Usually we really invite Christ to stay with us in our Airbnb of our heart when things are good. Oh yeah, we're good. But when things get bad, now you got to go. I got to figure something things out, Jesus. Or we're on the other side, where when times are good, we don't really need Jesus like that. So when times get tough, hey, I got this opening on the Airbnb. Go ahead and open up the app, Jesus. I need you to book this ASAP. Oh, and while you're at it, before you leave, go ahead and fix things up like I need you to. Before you leave, go ahead and pay that cleaning fee. Because we expect him to pay or to give us something even more than what he's already done, when really he's already bought our hearts with his blood. He's already purchased us on the cross. But that's how it could be sometimes. We can treat him more, treat our hearts more like an Airbnb than what it should be, his home. So I want to ask you this. Will you allow Christ to make your heart his forever home? Not just an Airbnb, but to be there forever. Because let me tell you, it's way better when he's home in our hearts. Way better. Think about it. When do people come in and like try to rob you? When do people try to break in? Any smart criminals when you ain't home, right? And so when do you think Satan attacks? When we've said, nah, Christ, not today. Go somewhere else today. Oh, that's when the enemy knows he ain't home, right? So it's way better when Christ is at home in our hearts. Number three, he's way better because his love surpasses knowledge. His love surpasses knowledge. The scriptures say, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. May you experience something that's too great to even understand. See, understanding is not a prerequisite to experiencing the love of God. Too many people say, I gotta know more before I can follow Jesus. I gotta know more before I can experience a relationship with him. No, you don't. You'll never know enough because his love is too great to fully understand. But let me tell you something. We're able to experience things we don't fully understand. That we do that every day. You don't fully understand how you're watching this over the internet right now. You don't fully understand that. Most people don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you help create it. Maybe you help. No, most people don't understand how the invisible signals go to cell towers and go to satellites and then come back, and we're able to work on this internet and watch videos at 4K in a moment's notice. You don't understand, but you experience it. Oh, you experience it all the time. You make the most of that thing. You experience that more than you experience your time with God. So we're able to experience things we don't fully understand. When you go to your favorite restaurant and you get that favorite meal, ooh, that steak that's just seasoned right, it's done just right, or that pasta dish you love, you don't know exactly how that thing was made. You don't fully understand what that chef is doing back there, that special sauce he puts on that thing. You don't get it, but you experience it. Oh, you experience it. You love it. You enjoy it. You delight in it. Why? Because we can experience things we don't fully understand. And that's the beauty of God's love. That's why it's a love from God and not a human love. It's one that we, you know what? It's too great for us to understand, but we can experience it. Have you been experiencing the love of God? And now, if you think about it, that favorite meal, you can experience it whenever, however you want to experience it. It's called Uber Eats. It's called Grubhub, DoorDash, right? So, I mean, hey, listen, God's love is so wide and so deep and so high and so long, right? That wherever we are in our lives, we can experience his love. Whatever we're going through, we can experience God's love. It is available to us. Now, let me be honest for a second. Let me be real. I have rebelled against God's love. I have tried to run away from God and his love. I don't know if anybody else can relate. And while I've done that, I've also found out that he was right there the whole time. And not just when I returned to him or I stopped running or rebelling, I have a new appreciation for Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, where it says, I can never escape from the Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, Even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. I'm going to read you a little bit of my journal entry that I wrote down recently, because this is, like I said, I've recently got a greater appreciation for this scripture and this concept of God's love always being there. And this is what I wrote. I said, it's jarring. The reality of your existence and the ramifications of that is jarring to me. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You're there. Even when I run, when I want to run, you're there. And you're there when I'm done running. Spending time with you, God, makes me face that reality. I always knew you were real, but I chose to run for years, especially during my teenage years, and thinking I had time. I could risk it. Well, I don't have that luxury anymore. There's too much at stake. I don't want to be without you. I love you. I love you because you love me more than I can ask or imagine. Your faithfulness to me is incomprehensible, beyond understanding. Your love takes away all of my excuses. I cannot find fault in you or weakness. No glitches in your love. My faults don't cause you to waver in your love for me. God's love is way better than we can ever think or imagine, because he's always there with us. I hope and pray you'll start to experience his love in that way. Number four, he's way better because he completes us. That's right. He completes us. When we can start to grasp and experience God's love, we will be made complete with all the fullness and of life and power that comes from God. In the NIV, it says this, it says, you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What? That's amazing. You will be filled to the fullness, to the measure of all the fullness of God. What? Wow. You know, this passage, it just moves my heart. The possibility of being made complete, being made whole. It makes me think about what it would look like to not have to deal with the feelings of being incomplete or inadequate, always feeling like I need more, always wanting more, like it's never enough. Experiencing God's love can completely fulfill us. And contentment really is the secret to that peace and happiness. You see, we are completely fulfilled with the love of God. Contentment is when we believe it. We're already filled. We have the Holy Spirit. For those of us who have repented and been baptized into Christ, right, who have decided to follow Jesus, let go of our old life and made anew in Christ through baptism, we already have the fullness of the Holy Spirit within us. That's why, hey, God, fill me with your Spirit. But do we believe it? When we know we're complete, when we understand it and we believe it, that's when we truly have contentment. See, Paul figured this thing out. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He figured out the secret of contentment. He figured it out. That secret is, you know what? Whether I have plenty or whether I am in need, it doesn't matter. The secret is I got Christ. I got Christ. And if he's given me strength, then I can be who I need to be and do what I need to do. I can be who he wants me to be, whether I have plenty or whether I am in need. God is able to completely fulfill us. And whatever we do outside of God's will, outside of God's plan, whatever sin we're trying to get into, whatever things we're seeking out in the world, it's just a cheap attempt to substitute God's love. That's all it is. And so when we recognize and understand and build a deep conviction that he completely fulfills us, then we can be content in him. Let me tell you, as we pray now for our communion, I want us to remember the love of God through what Christ did for us on the cross. I want us to be grateful that we can be completely fulfilled because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you because you are way better than expected. As we get to know you through the scriptures, as we grow in our relationship with you, we understand that we don't understand. We understand that you're even more amazing than we could have ever imagined. And that's beautiful. That's incredible. That's what having a relationship with our God is all about, with you, God. And we know none of that could be possible without the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And as we take this cracker that represents the body of Christ, this juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, shed for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you, God, I pray that we are just grateful. And I pray that you will help us continue to get to know you better and better, Father God, so we can truly understand that you are way better than anything else in this world, anything else that this world has to offer. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.